take the Holy Writ, precious scriptures, the Word of God in your hands, or maybe your electronic device. And we will continue this, finish this two-part sermon series out of Psalm 63. Encouraging you to have a deeper hunger and thirst for Jesus, a deeper hunger and thirst for God this year than you had last year. And we'll cover verses 6 through 11 of Psalm 63, verses 6 through 11. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Scriptures. Verse 6, David the psalmist says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword," meaning they're going to die. "They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king," referring to himself there, but the king, David, "shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped." Once again, the psalmist said, even in the latter part of verse 3, he says, "I will rejoice." And then in verse 7, he says it again, "I will rejoice." And then in verse 11, he reiterates, he mentioned, in case we missed it, he said, "I will rejoice in God." So my thought this morning is hungering and thirsting for Jesus in 2019. Hungering and thirsting for Jesus in 2019. Hungering and thirsting in Jesus. Hungering and thirsting for God. This year, in 2019, you may be seated. It's kind of like part two from last week. Hungering and thirsting for God. A hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Dear God, I pray that indeed that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Father, take your word, the Holy Writ, dear Father, and as you speak through me to your people, dear God, imprint it firmly upon the hearts and minds of us, your people. Father, maybe perhaps someone here this morning you are not their God, their personal God. They are in darkness, so we pray for salvation even today, dear God. Then, Father, those of us who are your sons and your daughters, we pray for a deeper hunger, a deeper thirst for you. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Hungering and thirsting for God in 2019. It's good to see all of you out here this morning. I'm going to start out with a quote that I actually used last week. It's good to see Sister Tracy Jackson here this morning. Good to see you. She'd been ill, so I'm so good to see you this morning. There's going to be a quote on the screen by this theologian and also mathematician by the name of Blaise Pascal. I quoted it last week. There it is on the screen. "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, each woman, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus." Here it is, saints. All of humankind, everybody, the lost person and the saved person, the pagan and the Christian, all of humankind have a God-shaped vacuum inside of them. No amount of money, no amount of power and prestige, no person, nobody or no one, Brother Charlie, fill that void, fill that vacuum except God himself. And so even as a Christian, the child of God, really, our soul can only be satisfied, truly satisfied by God himself. Our soul, our spirit can only be satisfied truly by Jesus himself. The psalmist said it better than I, and said it better than Brother Pascal in Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. It's on the screen as well. You might want to write that down and read it later. Listen to what the psalmist says. Whom have I in heaven but you? Talking about God, talking about Jesus. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing, he says, on earth that I desire besides you. Is that your prayer this morning? Is that you this morning, saints? The psalmist said, there is nothing, there is no one, there's nothing upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God, he is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The psalmist said, I just want Jesus. I just want God. There's nothing else on all of planet earth, Sister Rock, that I want more so than God, more so than Jesus. That should be the passion of your heart as a follower of Christ this morning. That should be your heart throb this morning. A hunger and a thirst for God. A hunger and a thirst for Jesus. Again, as I stated last week, the backdrop of this psalm, Psalm 63, David is on the run. He's out in the wilderness. He is hungry. Food. He's thirsting for water in a literal sense, but also even more so, he's hungering and thirsting for God. He's on the run in the wilderness, either from perhaps that crazy King Saul, or most theologians, I kind of side with them, tend to think this is David on the run when he himself was king, because verse 11, you know, he talked about the king shall rejoice. When he himself was king, but he was on the run from his own son, Absalom, who was trying to usurp his authority, who was trying to get him off the throne. And look, the primary reason all this was happening was because David, a man after God's own heart, David himself had fallen into adultery, had slept with Bathsheba, and then had her husband killed. And he eventually, after some time went by, he eventually repented and cried out to God, and God forgave him. But God said, there are going to be some consequences. I forgive you, but there are going to be some consequences. How many of y'all know there's always some negative consequences to sin? Sin leaves a dirty stain. So don't be talking about, well, God going to forgive me. I'm going to do it anyhow. Well, all right, there are going to be some negative consequences. But even through those consequences, God gives us grace and mercy to deal with those consequences. But those are always some consequences. Perhaps, beloved, say in 2019, I plan to do less sinning, so I had to deal with less consequences. Somebody say that with me. I'm planning on doing less sinning this year, so I won't have to deal with as many consequences. There are always negative consequences to sin. But David is on the run. He's out in the wilderness. Quick recap, just make sure we gets up to speed to verse 6. In verse 1, David says, you are my God. So the first thing, you got to make sure that God is your God. You know, from this pulpit, I want to always make a clarion call, perhaps under the sound of my voice. There's some in here, even this morning, have not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not confessed and admitted, yes, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, died on a cross and was buried, but rose again. But you have not embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and say, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And then those of us who are Christians, we often drift away, or we often get a little lukewarm. So I want to beckon all of us to come closer to God this morning. Come closer to Christ this morning. Don't be just satisfied with kind of a distant relationship. And say, no, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want you to be my God each and every day. I want to hang out with you, spend some time with you in the Word of God, spend some time in prayer, impact us for you. So David says, God, you are my God. So to worship and to hunger and thirst for God, you got to first make sure that he's your God. Also, going through this year, 2019, ask God to increase. Here's a good prayer. Ask God to increase your hunger and your desire to spend time with him. Say, God, deepen my hunger and thirst for you. Deepen my hunger and thirst for you in 2019. Also, saints, you see, David, once again, he's out in the wilderness. He's on the run, having a rough time facing opposition, but yet he's still praising and worshiping God. So here it is, your praise and my praise and worship of God should be, Brother Greed, it should be unconditional. It shouldn't matter what's going on in your life or my life. As a child of God, you and I are called and commanded to worship and praise our great God. Now, some of us will admit it might be easier to worship and praise him on a good day when things are going well. Oh, thank you, God. I'm blessed. We got all kinds of sayings. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I get a little concerned about those people always with them type of saying. I'm blessed, but I get stressed every now and then too. But easier though to worship him on a good day. But even on a bad day, saints, we ought to still worship and praise him. I said, we ought to still worship and praise him. That's what David is saying from the scriptures this morning. He said, even though I'm out here on in the wilderness, even though I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm away from the people of God, and I'm on the run, I'm still going to praise God. I'm yet going to worship my God. Job would say it this way, even after losing all of his kids, even after losing all of his financial wealth, Job said, yet though he slay me, I will still praise him. Oh, that's a strong worshiper right there. He said, even though God might take me out, I'm going to still praise him. So our worship and praise of God should be unconditional. Don't be like, well, I'm going to praise him if he does this. I'm going to praise him if he does. No. He's God. He deserves praise and worship. Let me use the double negative. If he don't do nothing for us the rest of our lives, we still need to praise and worship him all throughout all eternity. He's already done enough. It is good. He's already done enough. Plus, he's God. Plus, he's Jesus. So our praise and worship of him should be unconditional. Then in verses 6 and 7, the psalmist goes on. He says, when I remember you, God, when I remember you, Jesus, on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow, listen to the imagery, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. While I'm under your protection, I'm going to rejoice. Even though I'm on the run, once again, out in this wilderness, I'm going to still rejoice. So taking notes, jot this down. You and I are called to meditate on Jesus, to meditate on God, for he is our help. He is your help. He is my help. So meditate on God. Meditate on Jesus. Think on him. Think on the Lord. This verse 6, really kind of blows me away because it says I meditate on God. You know, oftentimes when we're reading through the scriptures, we say, you know, we see verses like, you know, meditate in the word of God or meditate on the scriptures. But now he says, I meditate on God himself. David said, when I'm laying there in my bed at nighttime and I'm tossing and turning a little bit and I can't really sleep, I begin to remember and think about you, dear God. And I meditate. I think on you. I ponder you. I meditate on God, not the word of God. Now hear me well. It does take the truth, Brother Gerald. It does take the word of God, Brother Sia, to give us correct information about God. Jesus said this, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. But all I'm saying, beloved, David is saying, I love the truth about God, but I'm not just worshiping the truth. I'm worshiping God himself. I'm worshiping the object of the truth. I'm worshiping the one that the truth is telling me about. I'm meditating on God himself. I'm meditating on Jesus himself. He's on my mind. God is on my mind. Jesus is on my mind. When I close my eyes on my bed, as I begin to drift off to sleep, I'm thinking about Jesus. He said, I meditate on him in the night watches. And then I remember how he's been my help. So I'm thinking about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm thinking about Jesus, who is the life and the resurrection. I'm thinking about Jesus, who is the good shepherd. I'm thinking about Jesus, who is my solid rock. I'm thinking about Jesus, who did shed his blood on Calvary's cross. I'm thinking about Jesus, who is the one who rose again from the dead. I'm thinking about Jesus, who is the one who walks with me and talks with me. I'm thinking about Jesus, who is my all in all. I'm thinking about God, who is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I'm thinking about God, who is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I'm thinking about him. I'm meditating on him. Now I'm preaching better than y'all clapping. I'm thinking about him. Thinking about him. Ponder God. Meditate on him. Let him be the object of your thoughts and your meditation. C.H. Spurgeon would say it this way. He said it this way. He says, communion with God in secret is heaven on earth. That's a good quote. Communion, fellowship, meditating, communion with God on earth. In secret, in heaven, rather, is heaven upon earth. Communicating with God, communion with God in secret is heaven upon earth. We can get a little taste of heaven even while we're here on earth. Let me say that again. We can get a little taste of heaven even while we're here on earth. We don't serve some, once again, we don't serve some God way out yonder somewhere. We serve a personal God. I said we serve a personal God. We serve a personal God. I mentioned this last week. I enjoy coming to church, you know, corporate worship. But, you know, it doesn't begin or end here as it relates to your relationship with God. If the only little bit of God you get is from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday morning, we're going to have to pray for you. We're going to get a prayer line. We're going to pray for you. You need more of God than that. This is like, you know, icing on the cake. You know, this is overflow from what you already should have been experienced all week long. Don't wait till you get to church. So, well, if the choir, if they hit the right notes and sing my song, I'm going to be happy. Or if the preacher tune it up just right. Now, y'all know I don't tune it up anyway. Tune it up just right, I'm going to be all right. No. Praise the Lord every day. Praise the Lord morning. Praise the Lord going through the day. Praise the Lord in the midnight hour. Don't wait till you get here at 18 on Oak Avenue, Love Fellowship. Let this just be an overflow of what you're already doing. As I was looking through this message the last couple of weeks and Rolodex and even in my own mind about certain encounters, personal encounters with God. And listen, we don't base our salvation on feelings and emotional stuff that happen. We don't base our salvation. I base my salvation on the fact that one day I confess I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I know Jesus died for my sins. I receive Him as my Lord and say, that's how I know I'm going to heaven. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that God rose from the grave. That's why I know I'm in heaven. These things have been written to me that in order that I might know, 1 John 5:13, that I might know, Sister Cousin, I'm on my way to heaven. So that's what I base my salvation on, Minister Terman. But in this Christian walk, we do have experiences with God. Matter of fact, I dare say, if you haven't had a theophany, if you haven't had a Christophany, an encounter with God, maybe you're not in God, maybe you're not in Christ. I mean, if no other time it happens, a salvation, you're going to tell me you're going to get born again and the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you and nothing really happens? I mean, that in and of itself, your salvation experience is like an explosion. The God of the universe grabs you and pulls you out of darkness and puts you in His marvelous light. And then the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you and then seal you until the day of redemption. That's a theophany right there. That's an encounter with God right there. But I recall as a 13-year-old lad growing up in the church, and I was helping to lead youth devotional that particular Sunday in church at 13, and I began to pray. And as I began to pray, I had an awesome encounter with God. Words can't really describe or explain. I just knew then, as a little 13-year-old boy, I just knew then two things. One thing, I already really kind of knew that there is a God, but I knew then that there is a God, and this is what really blew me away, beloved. There is a God, and he's concerned about me. At 13, I grasped that reality that there is a God, and He's concerned about me. That was God beginning to draw. I mean, I wish I could tell you this morning. I ran right to Him then, but I didn't. I ran away, really, after fear. But we had these God encounters, these spiritual markers. Some of them may happen before you come to Christ, and many of them do happen after you come to Christ. But we had these spiritual markers where you encounter God, maybe through answered prayer. Maybe you prayed something and nobody else even knew what you were praying about. It was just you and God. You were praying about a specific thing, and next thing you know, bam, that thing happened. And you can only pray and say, God, I know that was You. I know You believe, and I know You are prayer answering God, but now I know. I know You are prayer answering God. Can I have a two or three witnesses this morning? We serve a God who answers prayer. We serve a God who answers prayer. And we serve a God, that same God, that same Christ who answers our prayers, beckons us, knocks on our hearts. Revelation 3 says, I knock on you to just open up your heart and I'll come into you and sup with you and dine with you. Who else can serve a God like that? We serve an awesome God, a personal God. And so David is saying, that's what he's saying. He said, God, I'm going to rejoice under Your wings. That's what he said. And look what he says in verse 8. He said, so my soul follows close behind You. And then he said, Your right hand upholds me. And then, of course, in verse 7, he said, You have been my help. So David is, once again, catch the imagery, catch the picture. David is out here in the wilderness. He's on the run, and perhaps his life can even be taken out. But David said, wait a minute, I got some history with God. God, You are my help. You watched over me. Matter of fact, You was with me when I fought that big old dude called Goliath, who was about 9 foot tall. You were with me when we brought him down. God, you were with me when we fought that lion. Listen to this, saints. He fought a lion and a bear and lived to tell about it. You know God was on his side. Next time you go to the zoo, try to get up in the cage with that lion and bear. And no, don't do that. Don't do that. David said, God, I know you're with me. We got history together. We've been fighting. I mean, David was a mighty warrior. Matter of fact, they made songs up about him. Even when King Saul, that's what got him into with King Saul. They were in battle, and David was just taking folks out, and they brought him back to the city. You know how, like, even in sports, when your team win, they'd be like, so-and-so, yeah, rah, rah, rah. Hitch, boom, bar, so-and-so, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. You know how they come up with little chants. So they had a chant, and this is biblical. This is in the Bible now. When David came, he said, Saul, you kill your 1,000, but David, he killed his 10,000. And he said, from that day on, Saul said, I got to get this guy named David. I don't like him. So David is saying, God, we got some history. So I'm out here, and it's looking rough right now, but I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to put my trust in you. And a matter of fact, so church, and he said, so I'm going to follow close behind you. That's what he says in verse 8. He said, I'm going to follow very close behind you. How close? Follow as close as you can. Follow him on your knees. Follow him in the scriptures. Seek him here in 2019. Seek him by putting him first in all things. Put the Lord before other people. Put our Lord, put our Christ, our Savior, put him before any other goals or personal pursuits you have in your life. It's okay having goals and pursuits, but don't put those things before God. Don't put your job or your career before God. Don't put any of your ambitions before God, because those things ultimately, even though if you do achieve those things, quote unquote, in a sense, kind of with God on the side, they still not going to be fulfilling. So don't put those things before God. Don't put your hobbies before God. Don't put your civic groups that you're involved with before God. Don't put your fraternity or your sorority before God. Don't put sports or your favorite TV show before God. Don't put social media. It's getting quieter and quieter. Don't put social media before God. You know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever it might be. Don't put any of that stuff before God. Put God first in your life. God said, I hate idols. I know I did this series through the Ten Commandments. Go back to the very first one. God said, don't have no other gods before me. And our hearts, once again, we just read the quote earlier. Our hearts long to worship something. And if we're not putting that something or someone, letting it be God, letting it be Jesus, we're in the wrong place, beloved. You can be born again, you can be saved, but if you got other things in your life that are grabbing your attention, holding your heart more so than God, you got to say, God, take those things away. Put those things in the right places. A lot of those things may not start out as not a sinful thing. Could be a sin, but it could be something that started out as a very innocent thing. But if it takes the place of God, if it's on the throne of your heart, that's an idol. That has become a sin. And God said, I am a jealous God. He said, I don't want anything else before me. He said, I'm a jealous God. And so David said, Lord, we got history. So, beloved, here's our challenge this morning, individually and collectively. Make sure, don't do like the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, when Jesus addressed those churches. The church at Ephesus, they were doing a lot of good stuff. So, individually in your life and my life, I'd be doing a lot of good stuff. This church, Love Fellowship, we're trying to do some good stuff, trying to impact people. But look, Jesus, I got this against you. This is what Jesus said to the church of Ephesus. I got this against you. What is it, Jesus? What do you have against us? He said, you left your first love. He said, you're doing a lot of stuff, good stuff for me, but you really left me. He said, I have that against you. Then he told the church at Laodicea, he said, you all are lukewarm. He said, so much that I'm going to spew you out of my mind. I'm going to vomit you out of my mind. It's like you make me throw up. So we don't want to be that type of Christian or that type of church that leaves her first love, that makes God literally throw up. 2019 is I'm going to passionately pursue Christ. I'm going to passionately pursue God. And I'm going to ask him, Lord, through your spirit, by your spirit who is in me, help to remove anything that's hindering our relationship. Anything that's hindering our relationship. Sometimes you got to remove stuff that might hinder your relationship, right? I often say this, back in 93 when I got married, pretty much all of my buddies were, I was single. Pretty much all my buddies were single. They were my boys. They were single. But Brother Keith, you know, when I got married, I was married now. You know, I don't need to be hanging out with all the single guys, you know. Yeah, that ain't no good. That ain't gonna lead to a good place, probably. So I had to lead them along, you know. They still were my buddies. I prayed for them and this and that. And by God's grace, over time, my inner circle, most of them got married and got saved. One of them is a preacher. But during that season, I had to lead them along. So sometimes in life, if there are things or anything that's hindering you from moving in your Christian growth, Dana, you need to leave that thing alone. You need to leave that thing alone or that person alone. So David says, my soul, verse 8, follows close behind you. Another translation, he says, my soul, I love this. He says, my soul, David said, my soul, talking to God, my soul clings to you. I like that imagery. It holds on to you. My soul clings to you, to God. And then David turns right around and says, God, my soul clings or holds on to you. But then he turns right around and says, God, your hand holds on to me. So wait a minute, David, who is it? Are you holding on to God? Or is he holding on to you? Well, it's really kind of like, oh. David is holding on to God only because God is holding on to him. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. David is holding on to God only because God, are y'all with me? Is holding on to him. Hold to God's unchanging hand. He'll never let you down. Even when your grip and my grip gets a little loose, if you're holding to his unchanging hand, Mother Love, God's going to pull you on through that thing. You know, time is filled with swift transitions. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. But if you hold on to God, he has you in his hand. Even just this morning, I was reading briefly as I was eating a little breakfast. Let's definitely continue to pray for our country, pray for this president, President Trump. We just need to pray for that whole situation. Pray for the Republicans, pray for the Democrats, pray for all that mess. Again, if I wasn't a follower of God, I'd be all distraught. But we need to pray. You know, people are not getting paid because of all this mess. So we need to pray. But look, because I'm clinging to God, because I'm holding on to him, and more importantly, he's holding on to me, he's going to work all this stuff out. Y'all believe that this morning? He's going to work all this stuff out. He's going to work this thing out for his glory and for our good. So David said, I'm clinging, I'm holding on to God. I'm out here in this wilderness. I'm going through rough time. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, and I can't go to the corporate worship house. I can't go to church with the saints, but I'm holding on to God. Now in verses 9 through 8, as we hasten on, David, he began to prophesy. You know, some people prophesy, but he prophesied. He began to talk about some things that were going to happen to his enemies. Listen to what he says. He said, those who seek my life to destroy it. Like, once again, this is not like a little game. People, they were trying to kill David. They were trying to kill David, King David. Those who seek my life to destroy it. What's going to happen to them, David? They shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Speaking to, they're going to die. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. The imagery there is kind of like, you know, if you watch a movie and you see this battle, this war scene, Brother Keith, and you got dead people everywhere, Sister Candace, and area. You know, it's in war. So they move on. And here come the jackals. Here come the scavengers. And they literally eat up their dead flesh. So that's what David is saying. That this is what's going to happen to the enemies. Those who are coming against me, David, as a man of God, he said, they're going to fall by the sword. He said, the jackals are going to come take care of them. And then let me just skip down to the second part of verse 11. He said, and then the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. That's what's going to happen to his enemy. But then in the first part of verse 11, he said, but the king shall do what? Rejoice in God. David said, why are my enemies and my haters coming against me? God going to fight my battles. He's going to take care of them. But I, the king, I'm going to rejoice in my God. The same God I meditate on and think about at night on my bed and my night watches. The same God whose wings cover me. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to praise and rejoice in him. My God. Make sure God is the source of your rejoicing. Let me say, rewind. Let me say that again. Make sure God is the source of your rejoicing. Rejoice in God. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Jesus. So David says, I'm going to rejoice. Brother Tyler and Sister Kayla say, I'm going to rejoice. Sister Mimi says, I'm going to rejoice in God. Let God be the object of your rejoicing. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Our God, he fights our battles and he protects us. Our God, he fights our battles and he protects us. So once again, when you're reading the Bible, don't just read it. Hold on to those promises. Meditate on things like that. When you read a verse like this, like, wow, David is a man after God's own heart. And David just said God's going to protect him. Guess what? It's nothing so special about David other than he belonged to God. So if you belong to God, you're like, God, I belong to you. I know you're going to protect me. You're going to watch over me. When stuff comes into my life, you're going to strengthen me and enable me to make it through it. But you are my help. You are my protector. You are the one who protects me. So if somebody doing you wrong on your job, now I'm saying you're doing the right thing. Now you're doing your work. You're doing what you should be doing. But you know, they saying bad stuff about you, trying to trip you up. And guess what? But guess what? God's going to take care of all that. Y'all a little weak right there. God's going to take care of all that. They might be digging ditches for you and you walking on. You don't even see the ditch. You just walking on over the ditch. And you hear people like, oh, what happens? Oh, they falling into the ditches they dug for you. They falling down in those same ditches. God's going to watch over you. God takes care of his people. God takes care of his people. So that's a great biblical principle to hold on to. So God, you know, when you're in the midst of that trial or when you're coming out of that trial, about to go into that trial, you're going to say, whatever it is, God's going to work on me in this trial. And then he's going to take care of this situation. Now, if you're on the other side, or if you're doing some stuff wrong to somebody, listen, this biblical principle is true. You reap what you sow. So if you're trying to do people wrong and conniving and gossiping on folks and slandering and all that stuff, God's going to take care of you. But if you're on the other end of that, say, God, help me in this situation. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. And so David, he's confident here. David said, God, you got my back. Somebody said, God, I got my back. David was confident. He said, God, you got my back. And look, let me paint the picture real clear again. The imagery is us against them, meaning the Christians against the non-Christians. The person of God, David, against those who were against God. And so David said, God got me. God gonna take care of them. So it's again, the redeemed versus the unredeemed. It's the saint versus the sinner. Now this image shouldn't be saint against saint. I said this image shouldn't be saint against saint. The enemy is not the people of God. We got three enemies. I say it all the time. The enemy, the devil, the world, the flesh. Matter of fact, if we're going to talk about human enemies, every time you look in that mirror, you see your greatest enemy right there in that mirror. So the enemy is not the other child of God. The enemy is not the brother or sister in Christ. The enemy are those who are against the people of God. I said that's the true enemy, those who are against the people of God. So you think about it, you think it's the same image of how David is saying, hey, those who are coming against me, they're gonna get me, and you know, they're trying to get me, but God gonna take care of them. Listen, I was just thinking about this as I was reading this several times. Because you know how we do. You know, many Christians say, well, you know, God's on my side, he's gonna get you. Now, you know, if you're saying that to another Christian and they saying God on my side, he's gonna get you. Well, guess what? None of us will be left then if everybody keep being God. Now, this image, once again, is us against the world, us against them. Y'all with me this morning? So David is saying, God, you're going to take care of my enemies. Once again, as we go into 2019, make sure that God is your God. Ask God to increase your desire. Ask Jesus to increase your desire to commune with him. Your worship and praise of God, it should not be conditional. It shouldn't matter what you are going through. Yet will I still praise him. Yet will I still worship him. And then also, saints, verses 9 through 11, God fights your battles. Let God fight your battles. He protects you. Now let me give you this. I kind of rushed through this last week. I want to take a little more time with this week. This may be kind of elementary for some of you all, or it may be like eye-opening or world-shattering for some of you all. As we talk about 2019, being closer, Sister Jean, being closer to Jesus, Sister Kathy, you got to have a plan. It kills me how we have plans, you know, what I'm going to do with my family, what I'm going to do with try to save, what I'm going to do on my job. But when it comes to Christian growth, many of us, and maybe all of y'all got one, and just so, that's great. But many of us in the Christian faith don't have a plan for growth. You got to have some kind of plan. You know, it's good you want to get closer to Jesus, but you got to have a plan. How you going to do that, brother? How you going to do that, sister? Here it is. Nothing new from this pulpit. You got to spend some time regularly. And you know, the Lord keeps me on this. Maybe some of y'all are not doing it. Maybe that's why the Lord keeps me. I sound like a broken record. I know I sound like a broken record. But you got to spend some time in the Word of God. Some regular time in the Word of God. And God has made it so easy and convenient for us. Now, I mean, I'm reading through the New Testament too, amongst other stuff I'm reading and doing. But it's like after I read it sometimes, if I get in the car, I'm gonna put it up on my little phone, I'm gonna listen to it while I'm driving. So maybe you're not even a big reader. Listen to the Bible. Come on, somebody. You listen to the Word of God. It's getting in you. It's not like God said, well, you didn't read it. I'm not counting. No, it's getting in you. You know, try to do both. Listen and read. I know a guy, he doesn't really read that well, and so I just gave him the Bible on audio, and he listens to it too. So I mean, you got to spend some time, beloved, in the Word of God. And when you're in the Word of God, once again, don't just read it. That's the beginning. You got to read it. Ask some questions. Say, Lord, okay, what does this mean? Well, are there some commands here I need to obey that I haven't been obeying? In light of what I just read, what are some things I need to adjust in my life? What are some things I need to stop doing? What are some things I need to start doing in light of what I just read? Lord, is there a specific action I need to take? Is there somebody that I just read something about forgiveness? So if there's somebody I've been harboring unforgiveness, do I need to forgive them, pray for them, call them, text them? What do I need to do in that particular case? Then are there promises I can hold on to? Just like this morning, just see where David said God is holding him, right? That's a great promise. My God is holding me each and every day. He's in my hands. So I'm walking in a different way because I know that God has me in his hands. See, you know, it's not just like reading a biology book or reading a math book or something. This is the Word of God. I said, this is the Word of God. So you read it and you apply it. You hear it and obey it. You hear and adhere. You know, you hear and adhere. You hear and apply. So there are promises. And, you know, are there any new information? You know, people are always talking about new revelation. Well, there's nothing really new. It might be new to you, new insight. But as you're reading the Word of God, it is the Word of God. When you read it, you will see some things you probably did not see there before. I just mentioned earlier, reading through the book of Matthew, I had forgotten that there have been several other times in Matthew where people came and worshiped Jesus. The leper. This ruler. So that's good information to know. So when I meet this pagan who talk about, well, Jesus, he ain't God. I say, well, do you believe the Bible at all? If they say, yeah. They're making a mistake. They say, yeah. Making a mistake. They'll try to win their little argument. If they say, yeah, I can take them right to that passage. Look, here it is. Jesus received worship. Only God receives worship, right? Are y'all with me this morning? I'm hungering and thirsting for God. Hungering and thirsting for Jesus. And so in verse 11, as I finish, we see that God says the liars and the haters, they will be stopped. That's what he says in verse 11. And then David says, I'm going to get my praise on no matter what. He said, I'm going to rejoice in God. He said, my situation, I'm out here in the wilderness. I'm out here. My situation might be messed up. Sister Cindy, my situation, Brother Chris, might be messed up and jacked up. But God is still picking me up. God is still holding me up in this situation. He said, I'm going to yet rejoice in God. Because again, saints, the situation hadn't changed. Sometimes we wait to rejoice or pray when we get out of the trial. David said, I'm going to praise him yet while I'm still out here in this wilderness. Yet when I'm still hungry and thirsty, I'm going to still praise him anyhow. Because my praise is predicated on God. On who he is, not so much my situation or circumstances. And then he says this in verse 11. He says, everyone who swears by him shall glory. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. The imagery there is everyone who puts their trust and faith in God. Everyone who swears by him. Everyone who gives their life to Christ shall glory. So everyone who surrenders to Christ shall glory. And this word glory here, we're going to put it on the screen for you in just a second. This word glory in this verse means the honor and audible praise we give to God and Jesus. Everyone who surrenders to Christ, everyone who swears by God, shall give honor and audible praise to God. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, this is an awesome scene of what it's going to be like in heaven, some of what we're going to do in heaven for those of us who are redeemed. Listen to what John writes. John said, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, around the throne. It's talking about giving glory to God. The living creatures and the elders and the number of them. Watch this, saints. Make sure you're in this number. Was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, John says a bunch of them. It's a lot of them. They saying with a loud voice. What are they doing, John? They're saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's Jesus. Who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let me read that again. He is worthy to receive riches and wisdom and honor and strength and blessings and glory. Then every creature which is in heaven and in the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory. It sounds like we just said that, right? Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne. That's God the Father. And to the Lamb. That's God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. How long? Forever and ever. Let me say that again. Matter of fact, say that with me. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And let the Christian church say amen. So David is saying those who swear by God, those who have given their life to Christ, they're gonna give him glory. You know, we praise the Lord with our lips and our lifestyle. When we get to heaven, that's gonna be part of what we're gonna be doing, saints. Saying things like that over and over and over, Sister Queen, over and over and over, saying God is worthy to be praised. Glory to God in the highest. I mean, when you get to heaven, you ain't gonna be looking around. People often say it's so crazy. So, well, when you get to heaven, I'm gonna ask God something. No, you ain't gonna ask God nothing. You gonna be on your face before God, on your face before Jesus, praising him, glad you made it in. I'm gonna have a talk with God. No, you ain't gonna have no talk with Sister. You ain't gonna have no talk with God. You're gonna be on your face before God. We say the craziest stuff, you know. We say some crazy stuff. So David is saying, God, you are my God. And I love you. He said, I'm going to praise you even though things are kind of rough in this wilderness. You were good in 2018. He was good in 2017. He was good in 2016. He was good in 2015. Wait a minute. Let me just save some time. He's been good in eternity past. He was good all my life. He's been good all your life. He was good before we were born. Guess what? He's gonna be good after we die. So he's good in eternity past and eternity future. He's still a good God. He's still a good Savior. He's still a good Jesus. So David said in his text, he said, I'm gonna rejoice. Matter of fact, he said in verse 3, verse 7, and verse 11, he said, I'm going to rejoice. He said, with my lips, I'm going to rejoice because of God's loving kindness. I'm going to rejoice because of God's mercy. I'm going to rejoice because of God's protection. I'm going to rejoice because of what all God has done in my life. So I'm going to join in with the psalmist this morning. I don't know about you, saints, but as I hunger and thirst after God, as I pursue Christ, I'm going to praise him with my lips. I'm going to praise him with my mouth while I yet have time here on planet Earth. I'm going to praise him because he is an awesome and a mighty God. I'm going to praise him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I'm going to praise him because he was the one that woke me up this morning, gave me reasonable health and strength. I put clothes on my back, food on the table. I'm going to praise him because he's the God of my salvation. I'm going to praise him because he is the one who has delivered me out of some stuff that had me bound. I'm going to praise him because he is a mighty deliverer. So the psalmist said, I'm going to praise him. He said, thus I will bless you. I'm going to raise my hands and my soul shall be satisfied and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips, he says. He said, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. And then in verse 11, once again, he said, the king shall rejoice in God. In case we missed it, three or four times in this verse, in this text, he said, I'm going to rejoice in God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God because he is my God. Because he is my God. So saints, as we head into on 2019, make it up in your heart and mind. I'm going to be a God chaser this month, this year. I'm gonna be a seeker of Christ this year. Aaron, I'm gonna yearn to be closer to the Lord this year. Whatever he does in my life, whatever he needs to cut out of my life, whatever he needs to add into my life, I'm gonna say, Lord, here I am. I'm gonna be more sincere, more genuine, more available to worship and praise you in 2019. And if we start, there's things. But other stuff, I kind of figure itself out. You know, your job, your family, a good husband, better wife, being, you know, all that stuff will kind of work its way out. If you begin with that intimacy with the Lord, get a Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm through. Hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Hungering and thirsting for God. And let all the other things that we do flow out from that. Individually and as a church. I'm going to do what I did last week. Some of you all might not have been here, or some of you all might want to do this again. This is really kind of just between you and God. Since this is the second Sunday in 2019, I'm going to ask you to stand, ask everybody to stand. And if you want to just come this morning, we'll pray briefly. And you say, Lord, here it is in 2019. I want to draw a line in the sand. This year, I want to be closer to you than I was last year. This year, I want to, right now, lay it on the altar. Anything that's hindering me or stopping me from being closer to you. Anything that might hinder any sin or just any laziness or just whatever it might be. So, Lord, I want to lay it right here, leave it with you, and let you take that thing and cast it as far away from me as it is from the west.